everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. We do have some of the funniest people on this radio show here. We had last night and every Wednesday we have Arsenio Hall. And on Fridays we have Adam Carolla. And in my opinion, one of the truly funniest guys I've ever seen do stand-up is coming into town. And he's going to be here for 2 days only, so you've got to make sure you catch one of these shows. Either in Riverside on Saturday at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium, or on Sunday at the Long Beach Terrace Theater, Brian Regan, everybody. Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tim.
Hey,
how are you,
man? I'm doing excellent. Always nice to hear your voice, man. I have always considered you one of the tops, dude.
Man, that's very, very flattering. You got me all goosebumped up here, man. Thank you.
And I also love, for people who may have missed the last time you're on, according to the ratings, that might have been a few. But last time you're on, you talked about moving to Las Vegas, and evidently running into, I guess they have, you know, different power and water rationing out there, and when you moved in, it was a great story, man.
Yeah, well, they got water restrictions, and I knew nothing about them. I'm from L.A., where we didn't have such a thing, and
right.
We moved out here, and it's a little 9-home cul-de-sac, and everybody shares a well. I didn't even know that. I didn't know everybody shared a well. I just assumed it was city water.
Right.
And
endless supply.
Yeah, so we moved in, and it was like the first time I had a yard for our kids, you know? So my first purchase was a slip and slide. And they're not like when I was a kid. Now they're the kinds, they have like water cascading and all kinds of stuff, and I have to slip and slide. And the neighbors, you know, it's like our first day in the house, and they're seeing water like shooting up in the backyard. Oh, man. What a way to move in.
Yeah. Who's the new guy from L.A. on the block?
Yeah. Hey, buddy, can we talk to you? Yeah, not now. We're playing on a slip and slide.
That's such a great story.
Yeah, it's such a trip.
So, you got kids, right?
Two
kids. How old?
Well, now 9 and 5.
9 and 5. Look at that.
Yeah, I don't know why I had to say now in front of that. You know,
yeah.
You mean now or do you mean 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's like, what time is it? You mean now? So you've been married for what? 10 years or so?
Yeah.
So it's working out for
you.
On
our 11th, actually. This coming Wednesday is our 11th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Ah, thanks, man. Yeah. Hey, you know, one thing that I like about being comfortably married is, you know, like the medical things that start happening to you.
Right.
When you get a little older.
Right.
I don't know how people would incorporate that sort of stuff into a dating world. I don't know how that would happen. You know, what do you, like, meet somebody? Hey, I was wondering if might want to go out on a picnic today or something, you know. I know a little park on the outside of town, you know, and we could head out that way. And, you know, it happens to be near my urologist. just don't mind me popping in there and pick up a couple of pills because apparently I've been urinating too frequently. And, I know a little wine place, you know. Stop in there, maybe pick up a bottle of wine. And it happens to be near my dermatologist. Don't mind me just jumping in there, I can get a couple of moles frozen off my back.
Yeah, I don't know how people start dating.
I don't know. I don't get it.
But I think that's what keeps a lot of guys married. I mean, can you imagine, how old are you? Are you in your 40s?
I just hit the 5-0.
5-0? Yeah. Wow, look at you. You're on my progressive program. When you wait till you're, you know, 41, 42 to have kids.
I did the same thing.
But I couldn't imagine, and I bet you couldn't either. You're 50 years old. You get a divorce. You're dating a 30-year-old chick, and the father is your age. And then you got to pretend like there's no, you know, crazy elephant in the room. You know, I don't know how people do it.
No, I don't either, man. I think you're right. You kind of get into a comfort zone and go, you know, I just have to like this because there's no option that could possibly be better.
Yeah, right. Well, if you get divorced, your wife hates you. And it only takes about 10 minutes for her to turn the kids on you. And then it's over.
That's a life of hell.
Yeah.
And you're still hitting the dermatologist and the urologist, and you don't have anybody who even cares.
Right, exactly. All right, Brian Regan's going to be in town on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. And you can buy tickets. You can go to Brian Regan. Where is it? BrianRegan.com, I believe. Yeah, BrianRegan.com. And on Sunday, Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Terrace Theater. And it's always a great show. I saw you last time at the Wiltern Theater, and it was just, you know, it's an hour and a half of just, you know, great, great humor. And you can bring, I don't know if you can bring the kids at, you know, at that hour, but an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid's going to enjoy the show like an 80-year-old.
Yeah, man, you know, it's like, it's kind of a weird thing, because, I mean, I do talk about stuff that they might not relate to,
right.
You know, like the moles on my back, which is now about a half-hour chunk of my show, just my moles.
I also, and I don't know if you, obviously, you can't do this in your act because it might be too inside, but it's great here for Hollywood that you have the same manager, or at least had, or maybe even still have, I don't know, I'm not up on who's managing everybody nowadays, but had the same manager as Ray Romano.
That's correct.
And,
still do.
The bit that you did of like, he gets two residual checks.
yeah. I wonder. He's a great manager. Rory Rosegarten, and
right.
he manages Ray, of course, Ray Romano,
right.
And you know, and then he's got me. And I wonder when the commission checks at his desk. Which one, when he grabs his little letter opener, which one he opens up first? I could open Brian, Ray, 50-50. They both could be nice.
I always love that self-deprecating crap. Because if you don't laugh at that, you just kill yourself, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well.
Now, obviously, there's going to be two sellout shows, and this is probably a good audience for you. You know, because it's people who have moved to big cities who I think have a better sense of humor than, you know, people living out in the sticks. I think you have to, living around all these nuts. But if you run into, like, real crazy shows or crazy audiences where you just said, F it?
Well, the first show that I ever did outside of a comedy club, I started at a comedy club in Fort Lauderdale, and that's the only place I ever did comedy, was in that comedy club for, like, 2 years.
Right.
And then one of the first jobs I got, it wasn't even a paid thing, it was like a charity show at the Miami Seaquarium, which is sort of like SeaWorld, you know?
Right.
So I showed up that night, and there were going to be other, you know, like a band was on the show and that sort of thing. I showed up, and I didn't realize it was like, they did the show where, like, the seals and the dolphins do their stuff. So, like, you come out, and then there's a little area there that you stand on, but then there's a big moat between you and the audience. The audience is sitting, like, you know, 100 feet away on the other side of the water. I'm like, who thought this was a good idea, you know? So I go out on stage, and this is my first time performing out of a comedy club, and I'm nervous. You know, please welcome a guy you've never heard of before in your entire life, Brian Regan. So I walk out, and I had some joke about the killer whale they used to have down there named Hugo.
Right.
And I don't even remember what the joke was, but I figured what a better place to do the Hugo joke than here at the aquarium.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, how about that Hugo the killer whale, huh? And I was getting ready to do the joke, and I didn't know that that whale had died like 2 days earlier.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, that's when I learned you're supposed to do research. So I go, hey, how about that Hugo? And this little girl from across the moat goes, Hugo's dead. Yeah, well, you know. Anyway, it was fun being here. I wish I could do some more time, but there's a lot more on the show. I didn't know what to do. I just like melted like a candle.
That's so great.
It was horrible, man.
You know, I love the first CD I heard of yours. Was I don't remember the title of, but I remember almost every single bit on it. When you had a science project that was due, it was
yeah.
that was me in third grade, and I think most of our audience as well. Where you're given an assignment that's due in 3 months, and you start working on it the night before.
Yeah, or you wake up that morning,
yeah,
right. Off your pillow that morning, you go, oh man. Oh, that's due today. I have a cardboard box and a marker. Oh, man, it's horrible. And you show up, and all the other kids, their parents made them for them.
Right, exactly.
They're packing them in on flatbed trucks. Yeah, it was a trip.
Yeah, and you got nothing. Oh, man. But that's the way I was in school, man. I hated every second of every day I was ever in school.
I was not a great student. I was when I was, like, really young. But then, like, the homework thing, I don't know why I didn't think that was important. And I just never did homework. And it finally started catching up to me a little, you know, as I get, like, fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah, it caught up to me as well. I never understood that. I mean, you know, when you have a job, you don't have homework. I mean, you know, when you're painting the Golden Gate Bridge, you don't go home with part of the bridge and paint it at home.
Yeah. You're going to bring your bulldozer home. Hey, honey, the wife wants me to practice bulldozing. So after dinner, I got to go out in the backyard. I've got about an hour's worth of bulldozing practice.
Right.
Yeah, man.
All right, folks. You got to go see Brian Regan. And hey, is part of your act, and I hope it is, but do you still do the donut bit in your act?
Well, you know, there's stuff that, like, is older material that's not part of my current act.
Right.
But what has happened is, like, you know, at the end of the show, I kind of come back out and, hey, man, thanks for having me here. And at that time, you know, people sometimes shout out older stuff that they still want to hear.
Right.
And, you know, if people happen to yell the donut lady or something like that, then I'll do it, you know. It's really cool, man. It's very flattering to me that people still want to hear stuff that I would consider old and done. But
well, you know what it is, you know, if you had, like, if you, you know, just did jokes, then people could go around telling your jokes, and they wouldn't necessarily need to hear, you know, you tell them. But the way you tell a story and, you know, the terms you use and the different voices, and it is just sensational. Nobody can do, you know, the humor that you're doing.
You're very kind, yeah, Jim.
But when you did that, for the people that missed that, you got to lay that donut. It really is. I hate to ask you to do part of your act. I know you've been doing it for 20 years, but that donut thing always is the best. And I want the audience just to hear this.
Well, it's you know, I don't eat well. I've always enjoyed donuts.
Right.
And I've come to the conclusion that I feel badly for donut ladies because people can't make up their mind. I don't know what it is about buying donuts, but people freak out. They go in there, okay, I want a dozen donuts, and, wow, you've got a lot of donuts. Okay, I'm going to start with two chocolate. I want a twisty goo. I want a lemon twitter. I want two Choco puffs. No, I want one chocolate. No, one. Put them back. Put them back. I want a Bavarian apple crunch. Get the ladder. Hey. Why don't you go outside and think it over, huh? Yeah, it's a big decision. You can't blow donut day.
It really is classic. Well, we always feel rushed when we're ordering a dozen donuts. There could be nobody in there, but as soon as she opens up that box, you feel like you got to keep rolling.
Yeah, you want to get on a little thing, man.
Right, and you don't want to ever be embarrassed by when you say how many more left. You want to always be within one or two. You don't want to be within, like, seven. You got seven left. Seven left. I missed it by that much.
Well, they do the subtraction for you and make you look like an idiot. You go in there. Yeah, I'd like seven chocolate. You have five left. Oh. Okay, if I order one more, then how many would I have left? How many would I have then, donut lady? That's what I need to know, and now. I don't know how she does it.
Hey, is your brother still opening for you?
He does sometimes.
He
He's
does?
Not going to be opening for me, unfortunately, this weekend, but he works with me from time to time. I love working with him, man. He's like one of my favorite comedians, Dennis Regan.
He's a great guy. I always thought I'd love to see him get really high. I don't know if he smokes, drinks, or does pills or anything. I imagine he does none. But I'd like to get him you know, really high one day and have him go out there and do your entire act opening for you.
He sometimes says he's Brian Regan unplugged. That's like classic. Look, you know, when I watch Dennis, I know it's because part of it's because he's my brother, you know, that I love right. him and think he's great. But I know a lot of other comedians who really think he's good, too. He's done, like, three Lettermans himself and a couple Tonight shows, so he's very funny. But he's, like, very smart, you know? He reads all kinds of stuff, and he's got, like, I watch his act, he's got, like, jokes about crime and about history, and I'm like, I'm looking in the mirror going, if I figure out another way I can cross my eyes, I'll get another 30 seconds. I got some more silly noises I can make, and he's reading? That ain't fair.
That's great. You know, I have a friend of mine who works for CBS. And he works with the in New York, and Letterman show is part of his job. And I have him email me every time you're on Letterman, so I don't miss it. And I thought to myself, what a cool thing, man! You should be able to go on Letterman's site and pick out the comics you like, and then they email you every time these guys are on.
Because cool.
You know the stuff that you have when you're on Letterman is sensational. I love the couple times ago when you're on and talking about getting shot by a cannon or by a cannonball.
A cannonball wound.
Because you don't want to offend anybody in the audience that may have had a relative who was shot, you know, in a drive-by or a gun or anything. You know?
I try to pick the most absurd thing so the fewest people could be offended by it. You know, I'm like, how many people? Maybe there's the one guy that got killed by a cannonball wound, and they're going to watch the Letterman spot and go, I'm offended. Why are you talking about our loved one that got blown away by a cannonball?
Wasn't there somebody who wrote you that they were offended by something you did, and it was a real obscure reference? And yet it was somebody, I think it was you that told me that story. Somebody emailed you and said that, the cannonball thing was offensive because, he had a cannon accident or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that. I can't remember what it was, but, you know, it kind of put you in a position where you go, you know, I can't possibly worry about every single, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right, exactly.
What kind of act, you can't have an act that never, ever bumps up against anybody, ever. You know? You're talking about the mildest, most milquetoast act ever.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what's weird about working clean. Yeah, I work clean just because I like the challenge of it, man, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to hit on something that somebody might go, ouch, you know?
Well, you know, somebody said to me, they said, you know, they loved my dad's act because he worked clean and never offended anybody, like short people or old people or people who stutter. And I'm like, I don't know. Have you ever seen his act? That's usually what, that's the target, man. You know, Dorf and the old man and Mr. Wiggins. I think he's nailed them all. But Brian, it really is awesome to talk to you. I know you got tons of other promotions to do for this this weekend, but anytime Brian Regan is in town, everybody on Monday is going to talk about it, so you've got to go see the show. It will be an hour and a half. What are you doing? You do 90 minutes now?
Yeah, well, there's an opener that'll do like 20. I go out and do about an hour and 15 myself.
Wow, look at that. And all new material.
I try. It depends on what you mean by new, but I'm always trying to, turn stuff around. You know, if you've seen me a year ago, hopefully you'll see at least 50, 60% of stuff maybe you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Well, I can't guarantee it, but, you know. In fact, I can say that now and then just do the word for word from 5 years ago and go, hey, I've got your money.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah.
But you got to go see Brian Regan this weekend. If you live in Riverside, go out to the Riverside Municipal Auditorium and go buy tickets under, go to brianregan.com. And then on Sunday, we've been giving away tickets as giveaways here, and it's going to be sold out. So get your tickets as soon as possible. It's the Long Beach Terrace Theater in Long Beach. And again, go to brianregan.com. Brian, I'm going to try to slide out there on Sunday and check out the show.
Great,
I do have Sunday off, so maybe we'll. I can't wait to see it.
Well, I appreciate it, man. If you do make it, make sure you come backstage afterward, like to hang out a bit.
Yeah, we'll like I did last time. I went backstage to see Brian Regan, and he was giving me money and airplane tickets and all kinds of stuff.
That's why people should come see the show. I always hand eight. I've got like a pocket full of hundreds. I just hand them out after the show.
It really is great, though. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, you take care of yourself.
All right, you too, man.
All right, Brian Regan, everybody. Go see his show. It's going to be an hour and 15 minutes of hysterical material. He really is a great comic and reminds me of some of the best. I mean, he's right up there with Seinfeld and Chris Rock and all those guys. Brian Regan, Riverside on Saturday, Riverside Municipal Auditorium, Long Beach on Sunday, Long Beach Terrace Theater. Brian Regan. Thanks, Brian. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's been getting so hard living with the things you do to me. Oh, my things are getting so strange. I like to tell you everything I see. She's the passionate one.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And if you are in town, you're going to love tomorrow night because Jim Rose is in town, too, ladies and gentlemen. The Jim Rose show is in town, man. And nothing in the world is going to entertain you like this Jim Rose. He gets the craziest, weirdest people from around the world, puts them all up on stage. And I know you don't like to use this term, but a modern-day freak show, everybody. Like, off the air, he's like, hey, please don't use that term. But, I mean, that's what gets everybody in. Well, everybody loves to see it. And the show is tomorrow night. What is the big headliner? Who's going to be the headliner today? What gets the audience crazy this year? You know, I remember you had the big sumo wrestling chicks last time I saw the show.
Right, and the Mexican transvestite wrestlers.
Yeah, that was terrific.
You know, this year's, we're going to have to thumb wrestle over who's the best. We've got so many things. This is a much more upscale kind of highbrow show.
Right.
Presented with my lowbrow presence.
Right. Now, who's the guy? You said you got a guy with the lawnmower bouncing on what, on his chin?
Yeah, the world. This guy's the most dangerous guy ever that I've ever met, and you know my history. I've been around since Moby Dick was a minnow looking for the most bizarre acts I can find.
And right.
This guy, you know, he's going to balance a running lawnmower on his upper lip. We're going to give the whole audience heads of lettuce. We're going to throw it at this running lawnmower, turn the stage into salad.
Jesus Christ. A lot of room for accidents there, right? Possible accidents.
Well, if it goes into the audience, you'll get a haircut you'll never remember.
All right, Jim Rose is with us. Now, where do you find these people that you tour around with? They come to you, or you got somebody out there like an NFL or a Major League Baseball scout?
You know, in the old days, it was like-minded monsters would sit up in their crypts and come to audition. But this year, I'm not sure if you're familiar with The World's Most Interesting Man.
Yes. Yeah,
and that's a Dos Equis.
Right. Yeah, they're on the station quite often. Yeah.
Okay. I got to go around with him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we went all over the world. It was really, really fun.
Right.
I mean, we didn't just go to Paris. We went to the little villages as well, and we'd have contests. And then these winners would go in, and they would make it to the big cities. And then we would audition the people in Paris. Same in Russia.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just Moscow or just London. We went throughout all these countries. It took months and months. And so this is sort of like the people's choice of the very best variety, burlesque, and new vaudeville acts.
Right.
We've got a girl, Tim, that's a pretzel. She's a human bar snack. She'll flip her legs over her head and then use a bow and arrow with her feet and hit the bullseye all the way across the stage.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I can't do that holding it with my hands.
It's some act. Yeah. Gina Gregg can do that.
Gina?
Yeah, she's pretty good at that. Hey, now, have you ever seen an act where you go, wait a minute, that's too sick and too over the top for me?
Oh, yeah, I don't like blood.
No blood, huh?
Yeah, anything that's done and then the result is, yeah, no, I like it. Right. I like stuff I can spin comedy around.
Right. All right, what else are we going to see tomorrow other than the guy with the lawnmower?
And the girl that
and the pretzel, yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got? And again, Jim Rose is with us. You got to go see the show tomorrow night. It's at the Henry Fonda Theater, and it's tomorrow night, 6126 Hollywood Boulevard. Well, it's pretty close to, Vine, around there? Between Vine and Gower, I guess? Yeah. Where is it?
Gower.
Gower, okay. Right around Gower.
Yeah.
And to get tickets, call this number, 323-464-0808. What else are we going to see tomorrow night?
Well, you know what? A lot of times the acts are changing, but the stuff that's in every night, we've also got Linoid the Magnificent. You may have seen America's Got Talent, that TV show. He was their all-time favorite act, that seven-foot-tall Russian that does stuff with hula hoops and balances.
Oh, yeah, swords. Yeah. He's touring with you now, huh?
Oh, yeah. We got him on. We got him on there. This guy, I mean, you should see his full show. He's just amazing. We've got a Miss Melody, Melody Sweets. You know, the most interesting man in the world was walking around Paris and heard her voice, and it was coming from like an underground club, and he went in, saw her burlesque show, and vowed he'd find a way to bring her sultry siren, you know, songs of the people in the U.S. So she's in there. Of course, you know, we got Pickpocket Act. I mean, listen, you need a swivel on your neck. It's like biblical times.
Right.
Miracles are happening everywhere.
Yeah, and you know what? This show tomorrow night will take your mind off politics, off the economy, and it'll just be two hours. How long is the show? Two and a half hours?
Clocks in. Well, yeah, I would say closer to the hour 45. But you know what? Speaking of taking your mind off of the economy.
Right.
Without just saying it, you know, you might want to just get a hold of the Henry Fonda Theater, and they're going to really surprise you with how they can help you with today's economy in relationship to the show that we're doing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, but go tomorrow to see the show. Doors open at 8. Show time's what, 8:15, 8:30? What time is the show?
Doors open at 8. I think there's an opening something that's local. That's why I can't always say what's going to be happening. Our show that we're actually doing clocks in at somewhere about an hour and 30 minutes.
Okay.
So there'll be about a half an hour of local fun stuff.
Perfect.
I can't even tell you what it is.
All right, go to the Henry Fonda Theater tomorrow. See the Jim Rose. And
the most interesting show in the world.
Yeah, the most interesting show in the world. It's going to be in Los Angeles for one night only, right? The big, it's just, so you can't miss it. One night only. All right, so get into the Henry Fonda Theater, and the tickets are available at 323-464-0808. And you're going to be, if you just go just to see the guy balancing a lawnmower on his chin and able to throw salad or lettuce at him, that's worth your price of admission right there. Everything else is gravy, man. So slide out there tomorrow to see Jim Rose. Jim, thanks for coming in, man. You're
good
a major
you again,
stud,
Tim.
Buddy.
Good
get on out and see that show tomorrow, folks. Jim Rose, and it is at 6126 Hollywood Boulevard, 323-464-0808. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.